Let's get started. Did anyone have any burning questions, something they noticed in reading the chapter that they thought has to be addressed before we start or as part of our learning?
No, we don't say it on certain days.
Okay, so, right, we could do a whole halacha shiur on why we say this on Sundays and on other days. We're looking at Mizmor Latoda, and I think the Art School Sitter I checked this morning, I think, says not to say it on Erev Pesach, Erev Yom Kippur, and Chol HaMoed, I think. And it also includes Pesach as well. Chol HaMoed Pesach, thank you. And it doesn't mention Yom Tov of Pesach because you'd go to the Yom Tov section of the Siddur and then it wouldn't be there either. Also Shabbat and Yom Tov, and there's a discussion about whether Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are included for a reason I'll point out when we get to it. But also, right, on my first reading of the...
Is this like a private thing or a public thing?
Okay, so why/when is this Mizmor recited? And specifically, is this public or private? Is a really interesting question. Do you have an intuition one way or the other based on just the text that you skimmed?
No, but I don't think I'm allowed to shout in public.
You're not allowed to shout in public. Maybe this is a generational thing. I was taught shouting in public is...
For you, it's fine. It's a guy thing.
Oh, interesting. A gendered piece as well. So we'll see. We'll look at the language. I think there's at least a little indication that this is meant to be a much... it inclines towards the public, but that will become an interesting question in understanding this Mizmor. So yeah, in some sense, I think, unlike the previous two that we studied Vav and then Chaf, right? Both of them were sort of Tachanun-esque, and they were maybe a little bit more sort of naturally challenging. They're calling out in time of need, there's elements of begging, elements of suffering. Mizmor Latoda is this really happy-go-lucky. Right, things are great. Let's just praise God for how great He is and how great it is that we were His people, and leave it at that. So, sort of in the first reading, I don't think a lot of the tension that we might feel with some other Mizmorim is necessarily directly present here. But I think there is some insight into both the nature of Toda, the nature of gratitude or thanksgiving, and more broadly the nature of our relationship with God more generally. That I think we might get from looking at the text of this Mizmor closely. So let's read it together and just make a couple of quick notes before we try tying the structure together as a whole. Mizmor Latoda. So we talk about already when this Mizmor would be recited. So several classical commentaries mention that this Mizmor is recited when offering a Korban Toda, which was a sort of gratitude offering when... specifically when people were, you know, saved from hard times, they were thankful for that salvation, and you would say this Mizmor. It could also be that it just has gratitude themes, even independent of the Korban, and that, I think, makes a great deal of sense as well. Thinking about the Korban Toda and the feeling of gratitude in general, I think both were, you know, fit together nicely. No one would have thought, oh, it's only for the Korban Toda, but not for the emotion of gratitude. Those go together. That's why you offer a Korban Toda. So it's offered for gratitude. So something about gratitude is being communicated in this text. Hariyu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz, call out to Hashem, all the land. So first we'll talk about hariyu, that means call out, but the shoresh might be familiar. It's also the same shoresh as teruah. So that's why there's a debate in some of the achronim about whether we say Mizmor Latoda on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because on the one hand, they're Yamim Tovim, and on Shabbos and Yantif in general, private offerings like the Korban Toda wouldn't have been offered, so maybe we shouldn't say this Mizmor on those days. But they're also days characterized by Truah, by blowing on a shofar, or some sense of calling out, and so maybe they should be recited on those days. So it's a bit of a tension there. I think in Nusach Ashkenaz, I don't think we say it, but I'm not sure offhand. So if anyone remembers whether we say this paragraph on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we can also check a machzor maybe afterwards. So that's the first piece. Hariyu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz, and then kol ha'aretz is interesting. So we talked about public or private. Kol ha'aretz sounds like very public, like the most public it could be. It's everyone. And we'll have to talk more specifically about who we mean to include when we invite kol ha'aretz to join with us. Ivdu et Hashem besimcha, serve Hashem with joy, with gladness. Bo lefana birnana. You'll notice already that we're using these... In grammatical terms, we call these imperatives, right? Someone, the Mizmor maybe, is communicating to a group of people and saying, you serve Hashem joyously. Come before Him in song. So there's also, something public going on here. We're communicating to others about this, and we're giving them instructions about how they should be joyous and rejoice in the service of God. Du, no, and now we're shifting a little bit from service or from emotions maybe to thought. Du, you should know the following. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem is God. Hu asanu, He created us. Velo anachnu. You'll notice velo has two spellings there. That's what's known as a kri uktiv, where the pasuk is written in one way and, so to speak, read in another way. It's a funny example of a kri uktiv because most of us wouldn't notice the difference in pronunciation. It's not like being read, so to speak, with a vav sounds very different than being read with an aleph. Maybe very, very good Bali Kriya would be able to have a slight difference in those words, but they would sound very similar. But the meaning is actually quite different. If you read with the Vav, you think, Hu asanu, He created us, Velo anachnu, we are His, we belong to Him, because He created us. Alternatively, Hu asanu, Velo anachnu, He made us, and we didn't make ourselves. Which, besides the philosophical conundrum, how do you make yourself, you also, you know, sort of emphasize much more directly that God is involved in our existence and creation, and we don't really have any stake in it or right in it. And what is the nature of our relationship with God? Amo, vitzon, marito, we are His nation, we are His flock. So we're thinking a lot about our relationship with Hashem in this pasuk, and we're thinking, di'u, it means to know, or really to sort of focus or pay attention to the fact that. And then we come back to our instructions. Bo she'arav v'todah. We said before, come before God with singing. Now come into His gates, maybe into the Beit HaMikdash, where you're going to offer this korban todah in gratitude. Chaser etav b'tilah. You should come with thanksgiving. You should come with praise. We'll note a little bit later the difference between todah and tehillah, but we're sort of progressing now into the Mikdash. If we're, you know, visualizing this moment, we have this, you know, maybe a procession bringing a korban, rejoicing on their way to the Beit HaMikdash, and now they're entering the Mikdash, and they're rejoicing there. Hudu lo baruch shemo, they're praising God and blessing Him as well. And then maybe this is something of a justification. Why? What is the motivation for all of this celebration? Ki tov Hashem leolam chasdo, God is good, His kindness is eternal. V'ador v'ador emunato, and His faithfulness goes through all the generations. And so, with this sense of our relationship with God, that may offer some justification or some purpose to our rejoicing, to our festive celebration. There's a little bit here. Okay, thank you. I'll note one, you know, possible progression here, and there are a few different ways to read this mizmor as a whole. One possible progression that the Dat Mikra commentary suggests is that there's somewhat of a progression here if we follow the verbs from feeling to thought to action. So we start with Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz, Ivdu Hashem Besimcha, Bo Lefanav Birnana. All these actions are characterized by feelings, joy, and calling out, which is not necessarily so much of like a well-thought-out action. So that's a more emotional kind of expression, joy. Then we move to thought. We start thinking about the relationship that we have with Hashem afterwards. And after dedicating not only our emotion, an emotion progressing through thought, that we understand things more deeply than we felt them, then we move to particular action. We're focusing more on Bo She'arav, entering the Mikdash, entering before God, maybe offering a korban there. And that's now characterized not only by sort of a raw emotional experience, but also one that is mediated by thought. It's not a coincidence, I think, that the knowledge, Di'u, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, is the middle chapter of the middle pasuk, I'm sorry, of the chapter, sort of emphasizing its literal and metaphorical centrality. Our understanding of our relationship with God is what gives meaning to this entire process. And we'll have to talk a little bit more specifically about why a little bit when we try to unpack that pasuk, what knowledge we're really trying to get at. Okay. What we'll do for the next section of the shiur is pick up on a couple of sub-themes that come up in either in the mizmor itself or in some of the commentaries, and see how they might fit together into an approach towards joy or to thanksgiving, and what this mizmor is telling us more broadly about how those experiences and how those emotions fit into our relationship with Hashem. So we'll start at the beginning. Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. There's this public, communal aspect to what's happening here. I think one of the keys to understanding this might come from an understanding of how the Korban Todah works and maybe a slight communal element there. So the Korban Todah, this gratitude offering that's brought, is described in Vayikra, in source number 2, in chapter 7 of Vayikra. V'zot Torah Zevach HaShlamim. So it's a shlamim and a subcategory of shlamim. Im al todah yakrivenu, if it's offered as a kind of thanksgiving, here's what you do. You bring with the zevach todah, al zevach todah, chalot matzot bilulot bashemen, urkikei matzot mishuchim bashemen, v'solat murbechet chalot bilulot bashemen. These three different kinds of breads that would be brought with the korban todah. Halachically, we understand there to be 10 of each set of loaves that were brought. And you know, most interestingly, al chalot lechem chametz yakriv korbano. Even you bring not only, you know, flat matzo bread, but leavened bread, chametz, which usually you can't bring in the mizbeach, you can't bring in the mikdash, but we have an exception here that you are allowed to bring leavened bread for this korban todah. So you have your animal that you're offering, but you also have a wide variety of bread products, probably not crackers, but just lots of breads that you could eat this with. And some of them will be offered to the Kohen, as it says in Pasuk Yudalad. V'ikriv echad mikol korban truma l'Hashem l'Kohen. So you bring one of each bread to the Kohen. And one other additional halacha here. Uvisar zevach todat shlamav. The meat of this korban, biyom korbano yeachel, could be eaten on the day of the offering. Lo yaniach mimenu ad boker, and could not be left until the next day. So there are two major halachot to focus on here that characterize the korban todah as somewhat different than other korbanot. The first is that, unlike other korbanot, which are primarily the animal, and with the animal you'd offer, you know, a small amount of flour, a small amount of wine, some other additional pieces that would be mixed in, here, bread is a big part of the show. You know, 40 loaves of bread of different kinds, that creates a substantial amount of food. And the second halacha that's interesting is that there's a very limited window of time in which to eat this. Right? Most other, let's say, korbanot shlamim, for example, can be eaten for 2 days and one night, but the korban todah has to be eaten that day and that night and can't be eaten the next day. So there's a lot of food and a very small amount of time to eat it. And that's a little bit paradoxical. Those two kind of push in opposite directions.
Sounds like Thanksgiving Day. You're supposed to be like 30, wasn't it? So that's why you need black bread. And chametz represents wealth or abundance. And this is somebody giving thanks for whatever Hashem gave them. So the chametz part, to me, makes sense.
Right, so that exactly is a thesis advanced by the Netziv in source number 3 in his commentary, Ha'emek Dabar. He answers both of these questions, I think with the answer, as put the way we just said, Thanksgiving dinner, right? A lot of food, and a lot of people are coming to eat it, and well, I don't know how well turkey leftovers last. Maybe people can give me some advice on that. So he says, what's the point here? Ha'inyan, the idea is that tachlit todah sheba'al hanes, the purpose of a todah that comes for a miracle. You were saved in some miraculous fashion. You're grateful for some miracle Hashem gave you. Hu kedei lesaper chasdei Hashem shegamal alav, is to relate the story of what happened, to talk about the miracle, to talk in some sense about what we're thankful for. Umitam zeh riba hakatuv balach, and that's why we have a lot of food. Umit bezman achilat todah mikol shlamim, and you minimize the amount of time you're allowed to eat it. Because if I have to eat the food, I can't leave leftovers, and I have to have a lot of food, the only way to solve the problem, Hainu Kadeshi Yamarba Reim Lasuda Achat Biyom Hakrava. That you have to invite lots of friends to come and join you in the feast. That's the only way you're gonna get through, let's say, even discounting the Kohen for a second, 36 loaves of bread and a large animal, and one day you'll really need to work. And then you'll relate the miracle in front of a large number of people. So in some sense, that might be part of the idea of Hariyul Hashem Kol Ha'aret. We're inviting this large communion, this large group to come together and engage in this festive celebration. My celebrations aren't mine privately. The miracles don't just matter to me. They also are important in as much as I'm able to communicate them outwardly with others. Please.
In general, we're supposed to be not only thankful, but share with others regularly, you know, be glad that we have this and pass it on to others, not hoard it.
Right, so it might be a general kind of idea. Like anytime we're fortunate enough to be in a situation of prosperity and wealth, we have to use that as an opportunity to share with others. So we think about, for example, the mitzvot of Yom Tov, right? Simchat Yom Tov, maybe Mishloach Manot to some extent. There's the sense that when we're rejoicing and celebrating on our own, we're also meant to share that blessing and bounty with others. So if you're not giving to the ger, the atom, the almana, those who are less fortunate than you, there's something missing in your own celebration. So there's a sense in which that's true kind of more generally. The way that Nitziv is painting it, though, I think is slightly different. It's not as much about, you know, my having bounty and gracing others with it. Would anyone mind if I close the door? It's not necessarily about that. I think it's a little bit more about when I'm in a sort of spiritually fortunate position, I feel like, you know, God in some direct way has given me something, and I just want to share that experience with other people. And it's not necessarily the food, though the food is a part of creating a really memorable experience, right? The Pesach Seder is a great example of that. But it's also about my having the opportunity to bring others into the joy that I experience for my own salvation and kind of sharing that emotional experience and not only the food.
In the second line, it says, serve Hashem with gladness. And serving Hashem is doing mitzvot, like sharing your food, and that's really the core, I think, of the whole thing. I mean, you can't, if you got to serve, serving Hashem, oh, sorry.
Not at all.
Cute. Sorry. So I think it really just is the next step in there. You get the first part of that, I don't know why the order of these are. The 1 to 5. I think they're kind of out of order. I
should
just say,
this is
I'm
not
going to.
No, please.
But I'm thinking that, you know, 3 is here's Hashem, here's what he is, and this is what you're supposed to follow, and we're supposed to follow him. And then it says, and you give a psalm of thanksgiving, and you serve, oh, exactly, we'll do the next one, serve Hashem with gladness. You're serving Hashem by giving food to other people. That's the whole thing. I mean, that's what you're supposed to be doing all the time. So to have, like Rhonda said, just your own and hoarding it would be so anti the whole message here.
Right, so we have to figure out exactly what do we mean by ivdu et Hashem b'simcha here? Does that mean fulfilling mitzvot? Does that mean, you know, sharing with less fortunate? Is it maybe a broader orientation to our lives religiously more generally, which
so
we'll see some readings.
And then you can say, ho, do at the end. I mean, when you're doing it, you feel what you have done and what you've given, and you thank Hashem for giving you this mitzvah of following his ways.
Okay, so I'm very interested in what you're saying, because I think you're sort of flipping the causality a little bit, right? I thought the simplest way to read this more is, God did something for me already, for which I am grateful, and as part of my gratitude, I express gratitude to God, and I share with others to enable them to also share in my joy and rejoicing. You're saying, we could flip it the script also. The fact that I'm able to celebrate and rejoice now after having been saved is itself something worthy of praising God for. I think that's very subtle, but an important shift, and I think one that maybe the Mizmor alludes to a little bit. You could even just point to the fact that a lot of these verbs are repeated. It's Mizmor Latoda, and then later on, after we sort of begin this whole process, we, you know, look at Pasuk Dalet, Bo She'arav B'toda, we enter the Mikdash also with gratitude. So partially for what's already happened, and maybe partially because even being able to enter the Mikdash is worthy of giving thanks for. We say in the same Pasuk, Hodu lo baruch shemo, right? Even as part of being here, we're able to rejoice just the fact that we're here, not only the fact that something in the past happened to help us as well. So I think that might be sort of a subtle point, but an important one in seeing the progression of this mizmor. And we'll touch on that a little bit later. Okay, so that's Kol Ha'aretz. That's the sort of communal element here, the bringing other people into this experience of joy. It's also a practice, by the way. Has anyone ever been to a Seudat Hoda'ah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think those aren't so uncommon, but there's a very nice modern manifestation of this. I had a friend who, in college, would every year invite... he would try to invite new people every year because he wanted to spread the story. He had suffered a certain injury, but he recovered very well, and it could have been much more serious than it was. And so every year he sort of commemorates that by bringing people together, by having this kind of seuda, and by sharing in this experience. It's a very powerful kind of moment for everyone. Okay, next section. I think this will come back to tie together with some of this discussion of gratitude is Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. So what is the role of these kinds of positive, joyous experiences in religious life? And it's an especially powerful and important question when contrasted with another pasuk earlier in Sefer Tehillim, pasuk Yud Aleph in the second chapter of Tehillim, in source number 4, Ivdu et Hashem b'yira, Vigilu bira'ada. You should serve Hashem with fear and rejoice with trembling. These are, it's a very opposite kind of portrayal. And it's also been said for Tehillim. So now I don't know what to listen to. Do I serve Hashem joyously? Do I serve Hashem with fear? And are these compatible in some way? Or are they, you know, conflicting and under different circumstances, perhaps? There are a number of resolutions to this, you know, so-called contradiction. I put a few of them in the further reading section at the end. But we'll look at a couple that I think have some broader thematic resonance with the Mizmor. So we'll start with Radak. Radak quotes a midrash that notes this contradiction. He says, Ibduot Hashem b'yira on the one hand, but Ibduot Hashem b'simcha on the other. And if it's with yira, how could it be joyous? If it's with simcha, how could it be fearful? And I presented only one answer. The other answer is also in the back. Amar Rabbi Ibo, b'shash atam itpala l'kadosh baruch hu. When you're davening to Hashem, yehi libcha sameach. You should be joyous, just in the fact of being able to daven. He is unlike any other being, any other, you know, quote-unquote God that exists. Hashem is the real deal. And the fact that I'm able to serve him is itself an incredible blessing and a source of joy. Just my relationship with God and the ability to dive into him. That said, yachol shelo b'yira, does that mean that your prayer should be just unmitigated, unbounded joy? No, we have to step it back and balance it with the appropriate amount of reverence. Talmud lomar, ivdu Hashem b'yira, serve God in fear as well. It's not only in joy, but also in fear. But the joy here stems not from any particular thing that's happened to us, but the fact of serving God itself is a source of joy. Some of the Rishonim note that use this phrase, ivdu, well, most of the time we think of, you know, ivdu, we think of an eved, who's a slave. We think of someone who is serving a master that they're maybe compelled to or have to for some reason. And it's not usually a source of joy. It's usually done with reverence, maybe, or even with fear or with, you know, begrudgingness. And the chiddush, so to speak, of this pasuk is no, serving God doesn't need to be that way. Serving God could be a joyous experience. And in fact, itself justifies joy. And I think that is, you know, will fit together with some of the knowledge-based piece of this mizmor, the ideas about God we're meant to inculcate in this context of Thanksgiving. Eitz Yosef, which we won't read inside now, it's, I think, actually a commentary on the Siddur, but because this mizmor appears in the Siddur, he mentions this as well, and he also makes a similar kind of claim, that just being in God's presence is worthy of Thanksgiving. That's why he says in Pasuk Dalet, when it says, Bo she'arav b'todah, chatzerotav b'tilah, the fact that we're entering God's gates to the Mikdash, that's why we should be thankful. The fact that we're in his chaser, in his courtyards, is itself a source of praise. The exposure and the connection to God is what generates for us this connection. It's very poetic in Robert Alter's translation. Robert Alter is a Bible scholar who really, you know, excels, among other areas, in his translations of Tanakh. I have a translation on Sefer Tehillim, and besides the translation, which I think is really useful, he has some light commentary. And he notes the image of gates is actually a very emotionally resonant image. The gates are the threshold, the point where the pilgrim crosses from the zone of the profane into the sacred precincts of the temple. It is understandable that they appear in various psalms as a beckoning image. Right? You see the gates and you're beckoned to come and enter. The palace where the lover enters the realm of his desires. And so the exposure to God, the connection to him through service, through being an Eved, and the connection to him through being able to dwell in his place in the Beit HaMikdash, those are what motivate and, in some sense, justify Simcha. So it's not only Simcha for having been saved. I think, in some sense, the Mizmor is trying to channel that. We're relieved, we're joyous in the salvation that we've experienced in our lives, this miracle Hashem has done for us. Let's channel that into our daily experience of God, or daily abilities to serve in Ivduat Hashem b'simcha, or our daily ability to encounter God's presence in the Beit HaMikdash or in other contexts as well. Rav Hirsch, in source number 8, which in the interest of time will also save, tries to generalize it as well. I think this is probably the best, you know, two paragraphs you could read to understand why this mizmor is in the daily Siddur. He talks about Avodah Hashem, and he says that there's this misconception that serving God, Avodah Hashem, means doing, you know, religious things, davening, offering korbanot. That's not what it means to be an Eved Hashem, truly. True service of God is living your life in accordance with God's wishes, performing mitzvot, as we mentioned, as generally as possible. And the point of korbanot and davening is, as a symbolic act to remind us to connect to those daily practices that we do or to motivate us to do so. But davening and korbanot aren't the be-all and end-all of service of God. They're the, you know, pinnacles, those prime moments that remind us that we have to do that in our lives constantly. And I think that fits very nicely with this general thesis of, you know, we have moments where we recognize God's kindness for us, recognize the miracles, recognize that which we need to be grateful for, and we can channel that a little bit into our more daily service of Him, and our more general relationship with Him. All of this, right, this whole thesis I'm putting forward, that part of the goal of Mizmor LaTodah or of the Korban Todah is to channel the joy that I feel naturally in the moment of salvation, in the moment of connection, to my more daily service of God, that it should also be permeated with joy, that I have the privilege of serving the God who is able to save me in times of need in a more perennial fashion, in a more joyous fashion, I think explains the centrality of the knowledge piece as well, that di'u, that pasuk dalet in the middle of the mizmor. Because what I think the mizmor is doing is trying to channel that emotion, channel ibduat Hashem besimcha birnana, in a way that we understand it, and to bring to mind certain ideas that also permeate a more general religious practice. Malbim here kind of breaks down that pasuk in the middle into some, you know, the specific kinds of information or ideas about our relationship with God that we're meant to understand, and that in turn motivate us to a connection. So he says, "Hu asanu ratzalomar v'yichusenu elav hu bedalid dvarim." There are four aspects of our relationship with God that are being communicated in this pasuk. First of all, "Hu asanu mitzad sha'asa otanu me'ayin liyesh." He literally created us or the universe out of nothing, so our very existence belongs to God. Number two, "She'enu dome ka'osa acher, sha'acher kach ein lo kinyin b'maseh." It's not like he created us and then let us off, the divine watchmaker who, you know, set the world in motion and doesn't care anymore. Rather, "V'lo anachnu b'yuchus ha'kinyin." In the sense of Hashem having a sort of ownership over us, he's involved directly and cares very directly about us. Moreover, "Mitzad ha'anagash, anachnu amo." Not only does he care about the universe or about his creations, but in a very particular sense, we have a particular kind of relationship with Hashem. And number four, "Mitzachu mechaye otanu v'anachnu tzon marito." We are not only his nation in the sense that we as a nation have a relationship with him, we have a history, God has a plan and a need for us in the world, but also Hashem supports us in the sense that a shepherd supports his flock. And so this sort of four-part relationship alluded to in this one pasuk is sort of the central idea we're meant to take from this knowledge of God. Knowledge of God as our creator, knowledge of God as our, I guess, carer, perhaps. Knowledge of God as our God vis-a-vis us as a nation, and as our shepherd who cares for us. I'm reminded a little bit of the, at the very end of Shemona Esrei on Yamim Nirayim, "Ki anu amecha v'ata elokeinu, anu tzonecha ata ro'enu," all these different aspects of our relationship with God, and they're all essential in both the gratitude that we feel and the joy that we feel in serving God. It's much easier to serve a God who we remember, well, my whole life belongs to Him, and we have a relationship with Him. And that makes service of God not a burden, but a joyous opportunity. So I think that sort of, if I had to summarize the thesis, right, my understanding of the point of it is more, it's we're in this moment of gratitude. We feel God's presence very directly in having been saved and the miracle that God did for us, and that's an experience we want to share, part one, right, in the idea of the Korban Todah itself, and an idea that we want to channel more generally into our lives. So the moment of gratitude that we feel, these really high points where God's presence is very direct and manifest in ways that we feel he's looking out for me, also should be channeled into a daily Avodat Hashem, Ibduat Hashem B'Simcha, and in the relationship that we think of when we think of our connection to God, in our knowledge of God as the one who is directly involved in our lives. There's one last piece, I think, that might fit in maybe a little bit more tangentially to some of the earlier notes that we picked up on, and that has to do with who the Kol Haaretz is. We've been talking, who is Kol Haaretz that's involved in this service of God? So I was describing it primarily from a Jewish lens. We have our national relationship with God. I am a member of this nation. I felt God's providence and feel grateful for what God has done in my life. And so I'm connecting to that. But But there may be some notes that suggest that we're not only focusing on our relationship as individuals or even as a nation, but the global relationship with God. So first of all, the phrase kol ha'aretz itself kind of suggests that the earth as a whole, all the nations of the world are involved in this. And there are some notes in Rishonim also that suggest this. Rashi, for example, notes there's a difference between our service of God, Ibduat Hashem B'Simcha, and the service that other nations might have for their alleged gods. Du ki Hashem hu Elokim, kishem mishalim schar pulatchem. Hashem rewards our service of Him. Whereas, aval ovdei avodah zarah, ein lahem la'avod b'simcha, she'ein mishalim schar. Right? The other nations who serve their gods, they might think they should serve their gods joyously, but they're wrong. The joy comes from knowing that Hashem is looking out for us, knowing that Hashem rewards our service, and so we could feel direct joy in that. But if we don't have connections to Hashem, then we're distanced from that, and our service really wouldn't be necessarily characterized by joy. Maybe more directly is this Midrash Tanchuma in source number 12, who distinguishes between the two psukim we mentioned before. Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha, ivdu et Hashem b'yira. What's the difference? Is the Midrash there? It's a Midrash in Parshat Noach. The Mizmor, ivdu et Hashem b'yira, refers to Gentiles, to non-Jews. They have to serve God in fear and reverence. But by Jews, what does it say? Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. And we know that this is the Midrash because we're talking about the Korban Toda, and that's a Korban that would be offered by the Jews. So there's some hints or allusions in some of these sources to maybe a more global connection here. And then do take on a slightly new meaning, the pasuk about knowing God. We're not communicating to ourselves who already know these things, but we're communicating out to the world. We're inviting others in. Come, say, you know, we say to the other nations, come serve God joyously, not like your gods who you have no right to serve joyously, but to ours who will actually reward your service. Come before I'm into the Mikdash and know that Hashem hu Elokim, hu Asanu, Hashem created the world in this broad global sense, and that we, the nation of Israel, are separate. So the first half of Pasuk Gimel, ki Hashem hu Elokim, hu Asanu, is universal, and then we shift. V'lo anachnu, v'amo v'tor marito. We, the Jews, have a slightly different relationship to Hashem than everyone else. And yet, we're still inviting everyone in. Bo'u sha'arab v'todach atzeretav b'tila. Know that you also have a relationship to God. You're also welcome here to share in this experience. So whatever we said about the Toda before, this idea of bringing others to celebrate and to sort of be aware of my personal salvation, has been generalized. And now we're talking about inviting the world in to come share in a more universal kind of celebration. Even though we as one nation are particularly manifest there, but the whole world, Kol Ha'aretz, is really invited to participate there. I think that fits very nicely with the sort of little bit odd Midrash. I'm not sure it's actually a Midrash. I couldn't find it in a Midrash, but I saw it quoted in many places. And it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well. And that's source number 13, which is the last thing we'll see today. Mizmor Latoda, Yesh La'omro B'Negina. The Shulchan Aruch says, and this is a halacha, it's very interesting that we don't seem to practice this in our shuls. When we say Mizmor Latoda every day, we should say it in song, in melody. I've seen this done in schools, right? Schools will often, you know, like elementary schools, middle schools, they'll sing more parts of davening than we do nowadays. But the halacha seems to be you should really sing Mizmor Latoda. Why? Shekol Hashirot Atidot Libatel. Because all songs will eventually seeming to be, you know, at the end of days, will be nullified. They'll be irrelevant. Chus mizmor l'toda. There is a midrash that says this by the korban toda, that in the future, all korbanot will be irrelevant, except for the korban toda. So, figuring out whether the mitzvot are allowed to change at the time of Mashiach is a really interesting philosophical question, right? Could it be taken literally? But what point is this midrash making? And that this is, again, Paskin, it's brought down in a halacha sefer as well, in the Shulchan Aruch. I think it's saying there are some aspects of our relationship with God that are, in some sense, contingent. They're a function of the world that we live in. So we live in a world where sometimes there's suffering. And so there are certain mizmorim that we sing to be saved from suffering. There are some mizmorim that we say for tshuva, because we've sinned, we've made mistakes. And so we need that aspect of our religious lives. There's some, perhaps, that we say because they, you know, create or strengthen a connection with God that sometimes feels a little bit distanced. All of those won't be relevant in this, you know, idealized, you know, messianic future where Hashem's presence is visible and we all have very direct connections to Him. But the one thing that will be relevant is Mizmor LaToda. Why should that be? Why should Mizmor LaToda be the one that lasts? So it could just be that gratitude is this universal experience, and even in a world where our relationship with God is so clear and so sharp, even in a world where our knowledge of God is clear, even in a world without sin and without suffering, it'll still be relevant to be grateful because there will still be so much to be grateful for, and it will still be eternally relevant. I think that's a part of it. I think the other part of it is this last point we made about how one of the goals of Mizmor LaToda is unifying the world, Kol Haaretz, with us in this experience of gratitude that we have. And one major theme in thinking about the Messianic era, the end of days, is that all nations come together to serve God. And we all have the shared unified experience of being able to recognize Hashem's gifts and Hashem's gratitude, and be able to serve God joyously and in His mikdash for that. Ki tov Hashem le'olam chasdo v'ador v'ador emunato, I think also alludes to that, that Hashem's kindness, Hashem's goodness is eternal and perennial, and no matter what happens in the world, the fact that we are even here to experience God's goodness and our relationship with God is a good. And we look forward to dor v'ador, or le'olam, when we are eventually able to invite kol ha'aretz to come together and recognize that goodness as well. Okay, with that...